It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast as we give you, I guess it's a recap of basketball and a preview of basketball as well as the Pirates get a big victory over Prairie View A&M. And our very own Kyle from LaGrange is on assignment getting ready for our playback for Cincinnati. So he'll be watching a lot of games and that kind of thing, getting ready for that. With me tonight is a guy that loves basketball like I do, and so does Kyle, but we have him. We're trying to put up the duties, right, Bubba Rosema?
Yeah, no doubt. Kyle is doing his part to help us out for sure. And unfortunately, he couldn't join us tonight because of that. And I'm looking forward to recapping this victory over Prairie View.
Tell you what, Joe Dooley has put his stamp on this program, and everybody thinks I am a big Joe Dooley fan, an apologist, but you can tell that we were talking about on our preview, even with Brandon Simmons, we were talking about how you can tell the attitude and the personality of the coach rubs off on the team. And I thought that was evident tonight as Prairie View made a charge, but oh my goodness, the Pirates really responded and played really well, even despite all 19 turnovers tonight, Bubba.
Yeah, we really did. In the first half, like you said, it was a back and forth ball game. I think we built about an 8 or 10 point lead at one point, but then Prairie View knotted things up and we went into the half 31-31. In the first half, one of the things that really stood out to me is that's what we had, 39 shots as opposed to Prairie View's 25, thanks to us having 14 offensive rebounds, but we only shot 28% from the floor, so we didn't capitalize on that, and we only had one field goal in the final 8.5 minutes of the first half. The type of droughts that have really hurt us in recent years under Coach Lebo's regime. But in the first half, Sean Williams' return was one of the big storylines of tonight, of course, and he did have 11 points in the first half, knocking down three threes, and I think he was maybe like 3 out of 6 or 3 out of 7 from three in the first half, but he wasn't able to convert on his two-point shots and was 3 out of 10. And then you had Seth Lede, who had 7 points and 8 rebounds in the first half, but it was only 3 out of 10 from the floor. And then so something else that stood out was the performance of Isaac Fleming, even though he did, and I say the performance, what I mean by that is he didn't have a good night shooting the basketball, but he didn't hesitate to shoot the basketball, which was nice to see. That's what so many times through the first few games of the season, he's had wide open shots and he's hesitated and then not even taken the shot. And then tonight, that wasn't the case, and hopefully eventually he'll start knocking them down.
I know another thing that came to mind, Bubba, we were talking about 19 turnovers. 6 of them were by Fleming. I think that he's just having a little bit of a slump right now, and I know Cy Seymour on the Pirate IMG Sports Network post-game show told Patrickson for The Voice, Jeff Charles, resting his voice, getting ready for Cincinnati on Friday. He was talking about basically Isaac Fleming is the X factor here. We've got to have him play better as far as the points are concerned and the turnovers, and then that will really elevate this team to, I hate to say, the next level, but it really will make a huge difference going down the stretch, especially when I'm thinking about, Bubba, you and I are long-term thinkers. I'm thinking about conference play and the post-tournament. Isaac Fleming, we've got to have him with his senior leadership.
There's no doubt. Isaac is, of course, the only scholarship senior, I believe, on the team, because you have Addison Hill, who's coming on and playing a bit of a role, and that's something we failed to mention on the previous podcast. But Addison, last year, he only played 7 minutes, and then the other night, he played 21 in the victory over UTRGV, and then he had 5 points and really played tremendous defense, and as Coach Dooley noted in the post-game press conference. But there's no doubt we need Isaac Fleming to step up and really contribute offensively. And that's what And we know he can do it. I mean, because he did it periodically and sporadically, you know, throughout the conference season last year. He put up those two triple doubles, which were the first two triple doubles in ECU basketball history. So we know he can distribute the ball. We know he can score. So we just need him to do it more consistently, and particularly knocking down that outside shot.
And I tell you, he's a great the thing that I'm interested in and fascinating with is the we really have a lot of nice pieces to the puzzle, so to speak, when it comes to Dooley. You have the staff he's put together. You got the guys that were already here. Then you've got the new pieces. They have moments where they play like they played all their lives together. You got a Seth Ledet who's coming off 2 years not playing. He's really played, I think, all things considering, that he hasn't played competitive basketball in 2 years. He looks really good, don't you think, Bubba?
Yeah, Seth Ledet, that's what I agree with you. I thought that he would probably have a bit more rust, but that just shows you the type of work he's put in and the type of athlete and basketball player that he is to be able to make that transition and shake off the rust, so to speak, so quickly. He's just a tremendous leaper. That's what I remember, one of the putbacks he had tonight, and he's had several of those over the course of the season. And he had another
Lamar.
The basket to send the Lamar game into overtime was one of those that I was referring to. And tonight, Seth, he had another double-double, Dave. He was 13 points and 11 rebounds. So another solid outing by Seth Ledet. And then what can you say about Jaden Gardner? I mean, he had 30 and 10 against Lamar. And tonight he had an Errol Bean-like game for those who have followed Pirate basketball, for several years, going back to the Bill Herrien era. That's what I recall, a game where Errol Bean, I think, had 20 and 20. Well, he was close tonight. He was not far from 30 and 20, as he had 28 points and 17 rebounds. And something else that stood out about Jaden's performance, late in that ball game tonight when we were still in the process of putting things away, he was calling for the basketball. He wanted the ball. He wanted it in his hands at crunch time. And then he also had a time or two where he put it on the floor and took a few dribbles and knocked down a 14, 15-foot jump shot, which, I mean, that's something, especially with him being undersized, that is going to greatly benefit him once we get into conference play, being able to take big guys away from the basket and knock down that 15-footer. So hopefully that will continue. And another thing that stood out was just Sean Williams, of course, and that was his first game of the season after missing the first five due to suspension. And Sean, that's what Prairie View had made a 9-0 run in the span of 58 seconds to cut our lead from 45-35 to 45-44. And what does Sean Williams do? He answers with a three. And this is a sophomore. Granted, he was the AAC Rookie of the Year, but that's the way he performed tonight. And he showed that leadership. He made several nice passes on fast breaks, and just so great to have Sean Williams back in the lineup.
And having three players, right? Three players in double figures tonight with Jaden Gardner.
We had Seth Ledet, as I mentioned, with the double-double, 13 and 11. Jaden Gardner with 28 and 17. And then you had Sean Williams, who had 18 points, I think four rebounds and four assists. And
he had some steals, too. That's one of the things that's been interesting.
How many steals he had, but he certainly did.
It was a three or five. It was somewhere in that ballpark. I'm doing it off the top of my head.
Something else I wanted to point out that I failed to make note of. I was looking it up right quick. Is how many assists we had as a team tonight, because that really stood out. And our good friend Nate Ross, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, ESPN 3 color analyst, he made note of that, how many assists we had on the baskets. We had it was 21, either 21 or 22 assists on 27 made field goals. That's just tremendous.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something too, Bubba. You know, we were there's two factors that I'm really proud of with this team, and one of them that's really big is we were just talking about overall for this team was steals. They are really doing a great job of getting turnovers. You know, we're talking about in football, we need to get, you know, more turnovers. Well, I think the Pirates they're turning the ball over a lot, but also they're forcing a lot of turnovers, and that helps. We've just got to limit the number of turnovers we get and force more from them. But the other thing that I noticed that I want to give a Jody Jones, he does an excellent job as SID for basketball. We want to he listens to the podcast. I want to say hello to him. In the game notes, I noticed another thing that was interesting I had thought about, but preparing for this game for Prairie View A&M, we're getting a lot of points off the bench. I know, and one of it is that essentially I would say that Seth O'Day is a sixth man, right?
Yeah.
My memory serves me right there. He's scoring a lot of points off the bench.
I believe I'm trying to recall the starting lineup tonight, but yes, yeah, some games I know that he's certainly come off the bench, and that's something I've certainly noticed as well, as far as how we've outscored most of our opponents in terms of bench points.
Have you? And then here's another factor. There's so many storylines. I'm trying to not forget them and trying to be fair to everything to talk about, but the fact that we're starting a lot of times three freshmen. You have, let's see, Hardy, you have Jaden Gardner, and who else? And then there's obviously, and then you have a sophomore in Sean Williams. So you have, and then Isaac Fleming being the one lone senior. But basically.
And at some point, also, Dave, excuse me if you've already mentioned Tyler Foster.
No, that's the one I was.
Tyler Foster, I think, he's made a start or two at least as well.
Yes. Yes, he was the one I was thinking of. I'm so tired, and we're doing this podcast. We've got literally the night before Thanksgiving. And by the way, before we forget, we were going to do it in the last one with Kyle. Let's do what we're thankful for before we forget. We'll come right back to the game notes. And Bubba, do you want me to go first and give you a chance to think about it?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, I want to be thankful for my family, my beautiful wife, Kirsten. She puts up with me with all the many jobs I have in broadcasting and my full-time job, and I want to thank her. I love her very much. Love you, babe. Obviously, my kids, Tyler, Alexander, McKenzie, they put up with the same schedule I have, and I try to just do a lot of stuff with them, including going to Pirate games, whatever the sport is, and movies and things like that, and just spend quality time with them as much as possible. Love them to death. Great mom and dad. They're the salt of the earth. Want to say hello to my sister, Amy. Thankful for her and her sons, Riley and Grant. I've got so many great family and friends. And, of course, how can I not forget about my great podcast partners through broadcasting? With Kyle and Bubba, you guys have been my rock and definitely made this so smooth. We got off to a slow start, but with unbelievable circumstances. But we could have left that in our podcast, but that actually made me stronger. And you guys have been certainly a breath of fresh air for over almost 5 months. And then all the people listening to this podcast, Bubba, I know that sounds like I'm really kissing up to them and being patronizing. I'm not. I've been overwhelmed in a good way with all the love and support a lot of people have given us, and between all social media and message boards and a whole bunch of stuff, and then people around the just talking to people, and they find out that we're doing the podcast, they start listening to it, and they've been pleasantly surprised, I think, a lot of people. So and more good things to come, but that's what I'm thankful for, and thankful for being in a country where we can do a podcast and not be persecuted for maybe not saying some nice things about certain people. So and just trying to be as objective as can. So that's what I'm thankful for. And Bubba, hopefully I've stalled enough for you. And what are you thankful for?
I have so much to be thankful for. The first thing that I would say is just the relationship with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then after that, like you said, certainly my family. That's with my wife, Stacy, my beautiful children.
Love you,
Stacy. Definitely have to thank her for putting up with us in our recording of podcast. So huge thank you to her for that. And then thank you to also my appreciation of my beautiful kids, Riley and Reese. Riley's a first grader this year, and then Reese, she'll be starting school next year. Just love all three of them, and just all the good times we have together. I'm just so thankful for just, it sounds simple and a lot of people take it for granted, but just health and the little things that you experience day to day with your wife and kids. And then thankful for having a great sister and some great parents that guided me in the direction that I needed to go in throughout my life and have helped me get to where I am. And of course, they continue to support me, and anybody that's a Pirate fan that knows me probably knows my parents as well. Like I know you had the opportunity to meet my dad at the basketball game a couple weeks ago against JMU. So
Yeah. Hopefully
you'll continue to get to know him through the years. And I know he really enjoys listening to our podcast. And then otherwise, like you said, I appreciate you guys and the opportunity to talk about Pirate Athletics. I'm just looking forward to seeing what the future holds for ECU in general, and then also our podcast. We certainly appreciate all our listeners, like you already mentioned.
Sure thing. And while we, that's a nice segue. I appreciate you, Bubba. You don't give yourself enough credit. You're doing so well, and proud of you for, you've never done broadcasting before, and here you are. We're 5 months into it, and just doing a tremendous job. There's so much. I want to thank you and thank Kyle for all the hard work too behind the scenes. People don't realize, they may not realize it, but we put a lot of, that's probably why the wives have a hard, they've been so understanding. We appreciate all three wives, for doing that for certainly for Jessica and Stacy and Kirsten. You ladies are awesome, and I appreciate that. I wanted to mention to all the folks again, please RSVP. Bubba, give that email for December 15th. Before we get back into basketball, I made it a note tonight to talk about what I'm thankful for and to promote our big event. Our friend Terry Gallagher and Thomas McLaren, both those guys are working so hard on December 15th. We've got a lot of great players. We've got a lot of great things that are going to happen. Appreciate Linus Martinez at Professor O'Cool's. He's been really good to us. And I want to definitely give him a shout out. But how can people RSVP? By the way, want to have, if we can, a good head count, RSVP by Saturday, December 1st, which is the NC State game.
Right. Like you say, we want everybody to make it a point to, if they can, come out to Professor O'Cool's on Saturday, December 15th, as we'll be honoring the 1978 Independence Bowl champions. That team led by Coach Pat Dye, just tremendous, and they often get overlooked. We have so many great teams, but they get overlooked, and we want them to know how appreciated they are, and that Pirate Nation certainly recognizes their accomplishments. But if you want to attend that event, and the ways you can RSVP are to go on our Facebook page and comment under the event with just let us know that you're coming and how many will be in your party, or you can email us at thesportsobj@gmail.com.
It's going to be a great time. And again, this 1978, I don't think people realize, Bubba, you and I know because we're history folks and so does Kyle, and we're learning more. What's funny is when I started this podcast, I had no idea how much I would learn. Not only about sports in general, because we're dealing with it so much every single day out of the 24 hours. And while we're not sleeping, we're not. But this ECU team with Pat Dye, how about this? Do you know what Pat Dye's record is in his time here in Carolina? I can tell you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't recall right offhand his exact record, but
I knew the win. I was close on the win total. I knew that it was like 45 or 48. I was wrong. And I want to say hello to Terry Gallagher again. He told me that he texted me the record overall a couple days ago. It's 48 and 18 and one tie. So 48 wins. I don't know what the percentages are there. I don't have access to a calculator, but 48 wins, 18 losses, and one tie. He was the one. I mean, Stefanovic, I know you could argue with different eras, but as far as the modern era is when I'm concerned, is Pat Dial. I feel like that was the first major bowl we've been in. I know we've been in other bowls, but as far as the modern era is concerned, winning, not only being in one, you win the very first modern one. It's in the Independence Bowl. The team, you know, it's amazing how that team won, what was it, 9 games that year, if my memory serves me right.
Yes, they finished 9-3,
that's right, 9-3, because they only played 8. I'm sorry, I mean, they only played 11 games back then, and they went 8-3 in the regular season and won the bowl game, which made it 9-3. And to have Ruffin McNeil on that team, you've got so many great stars on that team. And to, Leander Green, I know, is a Hall of Famer. Touchdown Tony Collins as a Hall of Famer for ECU. Pat Dye is a Hall of Famer. I mean, you had a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. And the thing is, they're going to be at Professor O'Cool's. Well, Pat Dye is not going to be there, but I know that we've got other special people. One way or another, they'll be there. They're going to be participating. We'll just put it like that. And then, I mean, we've got a number of players, a number of coaches, and I'm just tickled to death. There's a lot of coaches that are thrilled about this. And, again, it goes back to Terry and Thomas. Thomas and Terry, kind of like I put them as the co-chairs of this event. There are two players. And what's cool about it, and we didn't predict this. So we didn't put it this way or work it out this way. It just happened. Terry's taking he's the offensive captain, I guess. And Thomas, being a great DB on that team, is a great guy. He was the defensive side. But you know what's interesting is I'm going to let him tell the story, but Thomas has a special – that game is very special for him for a couple reasons, but I won't tell you why. And one in particular that I can – I'm going to let him tell the story, and we'll save that. That's a really bad tease. I know that's a tease, but I don't want to take away from the story. It was really he told me, we talked on the phone a few weeks ago for the first time and planning this event, and it was just great. So I told him to save it for that day. It's going to be December 15th, 2-4 at O'Cool's. It's actually one day before the 40th anniversary of of the Independence Bowl. The big win, the victory, I think it was 35-13 over Louisiana Tech with the team that now coached by Skip Holtz, small world. So, folks, you got to come out. I know we're talking a lot about it, but we want to show a big showing of Pirate Nation to come out to O'Cool's, and we've gotten a big response. You definitely need to go ahead and RSVP. We need to let Linus know and the folks at O'Cool's, be fair to them. We don't need to have, like, a whole bunch of people showing up, and they don't have enough wait staff and servers, right?
Right, yeah, Linus was great this summer when we had our Pirate Football Nostalgia Party there that had such a tremendous reception, both in person and online. Just thousands of views that night on Facebook, and then our strictly audio platforms such as Audio Boom and all of those, SoundCloud, et cetera. That's what we had. We had probably approaching 1,000 listens as well. So, I mean, it was just a tremendous turnout, and I know this one's going to be the same.
It is, and I feel like as far as we had only been together. What's funny about that event, we'd only been together as far as the new team. We started, Kyle had been on before with me on ECU-related topics, but as far as you, me, and Kyle, that was only, we'd only been together, what, 3 weeks? And we knew what you were
right. We had never met in person to that night. So nope. Yeah, I think that speaks to the chemistry that we have. I think it was kind of natural. Just maybe it was just our passion of the Pirates that helped us get to that point and or be that way without really having had an opportunity to establish that face-to-face rapport that a lot of broadcast people do.
Yeah, you either have it or you don't, and I think we do. And we've been complimented so many times for that. So people tell me individually that I forget to tell you guys. So anyway, let's talk about again one more time. How can people RSVP if they're coming to the event?
Yeah, if you want to attend the 40th anniversary of the 78 Independence Bowl team. That's what you can RSVP by just sending us an email at thesportsobj@gmail.com. Again, thesportsobj@gmail.com.
One of our good friends is David Glenn from The David Glenn Show. You can hear him noon to 3, Monday through Friday, and that's all across the state of North Carolina. A lot of great affiliates, or you can simply just Google David Glenn Show. I know you can hear it on the TuneIn app, different places. Plus, they also put it as a podcast after the hour. They upload it for you on all where you find your favorite podcasts, including, I know, Apple Podcasts is where I subscribe to it. We had a chance to sit down with David this week and talk to him about ACC basketball, ACC football, ECU, and so much more. Here's that interview with David right now.
Well, it seems to be the end of the regular season, ACC championships coming up, and certainly for football, and then ACC basketball is cranked up, so we thought we'd reach out to our good friend, David Glenn from The David Glenn Show, ACC Sports Journal. DG, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, it's always fun, Dave. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it seems like time is flying. It was the summertime. You were just off, I think, your sabbatical. I call it the DG sabbatical.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to go on the cruise. And here we are now. It's it looks like it's past Thanksgiving time now, and certainly ACC championships. So first out of the gate, I wanted to ask you about, I know it's pretty much a given now who's going to be playing in the ACC championship. I want to get your ideas on what you think. Is it going to be all Clemson, I take it?
Well, if I had to guess, that would be my guess. And I was there last year when a pretty dangerous Miami team tried to take on Clemson, and it did not go well for the Hurricanes. And I see some similar themes this year because Clemson's been head and shoulders above everybody else in the ACC and really most others in the entire country. They haven't lost yet, as they have to deal with their rival South Carolina later this week. But it will be Pitt from the Coastal. That's the first time the Panthers have ever been there. But it's only a 7-4 football team, and you don't typically think of 7-4 as being, you know, championship caliber. But through coastal chaos, as we've called it all season long, it just spat out the Panthers this time. Now, to their credit, 3 of their 4 losses are to quality football teams. I mean, they lost a close game to Notre Dame, which still hasn't lost. They lost to UCF, which still hasn't lost. They lost to Penn State by a lot, but the Nittany Lions are pretty good this year. And then, oddly enough, and it's kind of symbolic of the way the Coastal Division went this year, Pitt's other loss is to the North Carolina Tar Heels, who have only 1 conference win so far this year. So I don't know if you can go from losing to the Tar Heels to competing with Clemson for the ACC title. That's what Pitt is going to try to do on December 1st in Charlotte, but they are going to be the heavy underdog against a Clemson team that's trying to win its 4th ACC title in a row and really has as good a combination of offense, defense, special teams, talent, experience, NFL draft picks, you know, waiting to be had. Dabo Swinney really has that thing roaring at Death Valley, and that's why Clemson's going to be a heavy favorite on December 1st in Charlotte.
They are, and I tell you what, Dabo Swinney's just tremendous. I know you know him way better than I do, and it's just amazing what he's built there at Clemson. Those fans at Clemson, you know how they are. They're a very passionate fan base, is an understatement, and for him to build what he's built there, it's tremendous. I remember so many times, DG, when people, I used to joke all the time, they were like, please bring back Danny Ford. I don't think Danny is, he had the 1 national championship, but I think Dabo has pretty much sealed that whole Danny Ford discussion.
No, I'm with you. In fact, I don't think it's an exaggeration. The ACC started in the early 1930s, or early 1950s, excuse me. So it's a league that's more than 60 years old. And sometimes people are taken aback when I say that Dabo Swinney is one of the greatest coaches in ACC football history, because they know he's not even 50 years old yet. I mean, he looks young. He is young. He actually turns 49 this week. But when you look at his resume, other than, you know, Bobby Bowden, who won a couple of national championships while at Florida State during their time as an ACC member, and very few others, Dabo Swinney has a national title. He's seeking his fourth straight ACC title. He's gone to the college football playoff 3 years in a row. He has finished in the national top 10 five of the last 6 years. He's finished in the national top 25 8 years in a row, counting this year. And this is all before his 50th birthday. So no matter whether the standards of today, where he's up there, you know, behind only a guy like Nick Saban at Alabama and maybe an Urban Meyer at Ohio State, or by the standards of history, where it's, you know, only a couple of other guys, at least in the Atlantic Coast Conference's history, Dabo Swinney is truly that good and that rare of a talent. And if those who do get to know him a little bit better, they find out that that charisma is real and that personality is genuine. And it's not just for the cameras. And that youthful exuberance rubs off on prospects and their families and high school coaches. When you're genuine and you're authentic and you have that kind of football acumen to go with his people skills, you at least have a chance to build something special. And he's now almost a decade into building something really special at Clemson.
No doubt. And you would think with the resume you're talking about, it would be somebody that's been in Clemson maybe two decades and not one decade. So
yep.
It's certainly great there. I have to talk about ACC basketball, being in the obviously in the Tar Heel State with ACC hoops and everything. How good, my first question out of the gate, I know what you're probably going to say, how good is the Duke team this year?
Well, they're really, really good. And by standards of the NBA draft, they have a chance to make history. We looked it up because, you know, Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish are all likely to be top five NBA draft picks this coming year as one-and-done players for the Duke Blue Devils. There's only one other example in the history of college basketball where the same team produced three top 10 picks in the same draft. And everybody always asks the follow-up question, well, who was that team and did they win the national title that year? As if it's going to kind of give us a crystal ball about the Blue Devils' future this year. It was one of those Billy Donovan teams at Florida that did win the national championship. And they had Al Horford, they had Joakim Noah, and they had Corey Brewer. All of those guys are still playing in the NBA 10 or so years later. And all of those guys were juniors when the Florida Gators won the national title in 2007. That was part of back-to-back national championships under Billy Donovan for the Gators. So the only example we have in history of something that looked like this, remember, those guys were juniors on their way to being top 10 picks. These guys are freshmen on their way to being top 5 picks, or at least top 10. So it doesn't mean it's a sealed deal for the Blue Devils. There's a lot of tough games ahead, and especially when you're away from home, things can get tricky in ACC play. I don't think they're going to be the first team since, you know, the Indiana in the 1970s to run the table and finish undefeated. But are they a legitimate candidate for first place in the ACC or the ACC title or the Final Four or the NCAA title, even though their four best players are freshmen? I think the answer is yes to all of those questions. And thanks to Zion Williamson, they're becoming, you know, YouTube sensation. And thanks to an ESPN special feature, they're becoming an internet sensation. So you put together Mike Krzyzewski, one of the greatest of all time, with one of the greatest recruiting classes of all time, something special at least has a chance to happen. And so far, something special is happening for the Blue Devils this year.
I want to ask you for the team that's 8 miles down the road in Chapel Hill. I know the Carolina fans always compare themselves to Duke and with Coach K, with Roy Williams. What, as far as the team, I know they're a good team, a top 10 team. Do you think they have a chance to make a run in the ACC?
No doubt about it. I think there's four teams that have the potential to be great, and I mean chase the Final Four or the national title. Duke is one. Carolina is another. UVA is a third, and I know Syracuse has started a little bit slowly, but they're missing their senior point guard so far. So when Frank Howard comes back, I think the Orange are going to join this group as well. And, you know, there's some depth even beyond those four. But in terms of chasing every achievable goal that there is in college basketball, I think the Tar Heels belong in that group because, I mean, you know the deal, Dave. In addition to young talent, and Kobe White's a sensational freshman point guard, and Nasir Little is a sensational freshman wing, and Little's going to end up being a top five NBA pick in all likelihood as well. The Tar Heels have the blend of talent and experience and depth. The Blue Devils, we're not sure about depth. And the Blue Devils, they don't have a whole lot of experience. The Tar Heels have experience and talent and depth. When you have a senior All-American like Luke May, and a senior sharpshooter like Cameron Johnson, and a senior 3-and-D guy like Kenny Williams, to go with the freshman Kobe White and Nasir Little and Leaky Black, and even some other solid players beyond those guys, and Garrison Brooks or Sterling Manley on the interior, you have a chance to beat anybody. And it's going to be a tough neighborhood, but nobody should count the Tar Heels out. Nobody should count the Blue Devils out. And although they somehow don't get as much respect as they deserve, I don't think anybody should count Virginia out either, because folks are surprised to hear this, but the Cavaliers have accomplished as much in the regular season, at least, over these last 5 years under Tony Bennett. They've actually accomplished more in many categories than either the Blue Devils or the Tar Heels. We're just not as accustomed to mention those Cavaliers as highly as we do the Blue Devils and the Tar Heels most of the time.
Yeah, and I think that certainly, I guess, Duke North Carolina, with the ratings they get with the regular season games, and I had friends that told me that when they were living around in Chicago, different places, that they felt like the beginning of the basketball season was the first Duke North Carolina game.
Yeah.
And that they watched that, even though they had no interest in either of the team, they just watched it because they knew it was going to be great basketball.
Yeah, and actually most years, believe it or not, this is a crazy stat that just reinforces the greatness of the Duke-Carolina rivalry, which a lot of people put up there with, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, and Major League Baseball among the greatest American sports rivalries of all. It is most years the most watched regular season college basketball game. Sometimes it's the two most watched games in the entire college basketball regular season, once in Durham, once in Chapel Hill. It has all the elements, right? Hall of Fame coaches, All-American caliber players, future NBA players, passionate fan bases, great arenas in Cameron Indoor Stadium and the Smith Center, of course. It has been back and forth, heck, for my 30-plus years covering it, but even for a lot longer than that between the Blue Devils and the Tar Heels. So it carries the greatness of history with it, but it's also likely to be great here in 2018 because you still have two Hall of Famers in Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, and this year, man, you have an overwhelming amount of NBA-caliber talent on both of those benches.
It's like watching a game and seeing future NBA All-Stars that are on the floor, and they're just in college.
It's incredible. And actually, we went back and did a little more research, whereas Duke is trying to join Florida, that I mentioned a while back, as the only teams with three top 10 picks in the same draft. If you go back far enough, when Dean Smith had guys named Michael Jordan and Sam Perkins and James Worthy back in 1982, he, of course, broke through for his first NCAA title that year. Now, all three of those guys did end up as top five NBA draft picks. Now, they weren't in the same draft because Worthy left in 82, and Perkins and Jordan hung around campus for two more years before they turned pro, but it's just another reminder that if you put a Hall of Fame caliber coach together with top five caliber NBA picks and they're all on campus, several of them at the same time, at the very least you have a chance to do special things. And in some cases, like 1982 Carolina, and we'll see, maybe like 2019 Duke, you certainly have a chance to win it all with that kind of combination.
That's certainly the case. I wanted to talk about some East Carolina stuff. In fact, I feel old because your son, Anthony, I know I've heard you on the show talking about a freshman in East Carolina. I remember when he was a lot younger, so that makes me feel very old. But I know you follow the program closely anyway, and I'm sure you get your inside, more of an inside scoop even now having your son there. I want to get your take on, with Scotty Moe, we've got end of the season now. Do you think he keeps his job? Do you have any idea? Are you hearing anything? I know our fans are listening right now. That's been really in the Greenville area, that's been the hot topic for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'll personally be surprised if Scotty Montgomery does keep his job. As you know, he does not have a large buyout, you know, like the $12 million buyout that is protecting Larry Fedora at UNC right now as he goes through a miserable season for the Tar Heels. A small buyout certainly is not going to save Scotty Montgomery, as he looks like he's headed for maybe a third straight 3-9 campaign. this is a football first school. That's what pays the bills. The only weird thing that's worth mentioning, remember, is that it is a complicated hierarchy at ECU right now. And Cecil Staton has people asking questions as to how long he's going to stay as chancellor. And Dave Hart is only an interim athletic director. And, you know, they're overseeing a $60 million renovation of Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. Typically, you know, the president or chancellor hires the AD, and the AD hires coaches. Well, right now, there's an interim AD, and there's a search for the next one, but the timetable for that is going to be really intriguing because Cecil Staton doesn't want to have to make every decision involving the athletic department and the rest of the university. So typically, you want to hire your AD before you hire a new football coach. But if you don't get an AD hired soon and let that person, him or her, make a decision about Scotty Montgomery, well, you're going to jump into the coaching carousel without a clear pecking order as to who's in charge of the next hire and who's the best fit and what are you looking for in a new coach and what can you afford in terms of a budget. So it's a really weird time. I don't think Scotty Montgomery's resume is the type of resume that typically gets you a fourth year. Now, he's developing the young quarterback in Holton Ahlers, and there's some good things going on the recruiting trail that could be his silver lining, given the complicated hierarchy at ECU right now. But we can't know for sure until we figure out who's making the decisions in that athletic department. And right there, that's a very murky question.
It definitely is, and the big thing I want to let you know that what we're hearing, and I want to get your take on this, we're hearing the latest has been the top candidate for the AD job is John Gilbert at Southern Miss, the AD there. He has ties to Tennessee with Dave Hart. When Dave Hart was there, he kind of groomed him. He's been there maybe a couple years, and then the other thing is we're hearing the top as far as if the coaching change does happen, a lot of people hearing about the ties at Tennessee. Of course, he was fired. Talking about Butch Jones, that's been the, if there is a coaching change, that's the one that we're hearing a lot here recently with different people I've talked to. And it's all over, of course, you know, you can't trust message boards or Facebook pages or anything like that. But between people I've talked to and then it's on the message boards as well, that's the latest fodder, I guess, if you will, for coaches. Did you like him at Tennessee, or I know it was Cincinnati?
Well, he certainly was really good before he got to Tennessee. And he's not the first guy to get into the Southeastern Conference and then start to run into a brick wall after having a lot of success prior to that. So it was a mixed bag with the Volunteers, but the rest of his body of work is a really impressive one. And those are some intriguing names that you mentioned because, you know, John Gilbert has ties to the state of North Carolina. He of course, would be getting a promotion from a lower conference to a better conference in the AAC if he left Southern Miss for ECU. He's a graduate of Lenoir Rhyne here in North Carolina. You mentioned those ties for him at Tennessee, so he knows how to raise money, and he knows how to build a football-first program. So those are some really good parallels for the ECU position if it comes to that. I don't know if he's going to be the guy or not, but Butch Jones, I think, would be a more – well, look at it this way. Scotty Montgomery was hired despite having no track record as a head coach. Good things as an assistant, college and pro, but no track record as a head coach. Butch Jones has a track record as a head coach that includes some amazing stops before the mixed bag at Tennessee. So that would be an exciting possibility for the Pirates. Again, I don't think we can have too much clarity until we get more clarity on that AD position.
It's going to be an interesting ride, and certainly I've been having a lot of hours up recording podcasts and interviews, and December is going to be unbelievable. So the good news is that they definitely, ECU has definitely kept us with a lot of material, certainly like I call it over the last 3 years, DG, a male soap opera.
Yeah, sometimes in the wrong ways, sometimes in the right ways. I mean, the good news is people care, right? The worst thing you can deal with in college athletics is apathy. At least people, if people are frustrated and angry and impatient, that means they care. Right now, it is an extremely unusual combination of things happening. I mean, you know the deal. Turnover in women's basketball, turnover in the men's basketball, turnover at athletic director, people asking questions about the chancellor, turnover from Ruffin McNeil. I mean, it has been a really weird domino effect at ECU, as the university has some financial challenges, as the athletic department, you know, has some catching up to do compared to members of the AAC as a league. ECU was in a much better financial place compared to its colleagues in the Conference USA than it is right now. So it's swimming upstream to a degree, and whoever the hierarchy becomes, you know, they're going to have to tackle those issues along with what it takes to put together a quality football team.
It's going to be fascinating, and 2019 is definitely going to be hopefully better than 2015 and 2016, 17 and 18, so we'll see how that plays out. I want to wish you, Maria, and your family a happy, safe holiday season, and hopefully we can catch up with you sometime in 2019, but early happy 2019 to you as well.
Right back at you. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. It's always fun to be with you to talk sports, Dave. I'm thankful for our relationship and us having crossed paths so often over all these years, and I'm happy to be a guest anytime.
And while we're in a promotion mode right now, Bubba, let's talk about, can you want to let the cat out of the bag for December? I think we should promote December because...
Yeah, I think that's a great idea because prior to that 40th anniversary live party that we're going to have at O'Cool's that we've talked about the last few minutes, that's what we're going to have, a tremendous podcast that's going to be released the first few days or first week of December. About one of the nation's best rivalries, in my opinion, the best rivalry, because it's college football in its most pure form in this day and age. And that of course, is the Army-Navy game that's being played on Saturday, December the 8th.
Yeah, the Army-Navy game is going to be tremendous. I think the people are going to be blown away. And we want to thank both Army, the great folks at Army, I know Kat, and I, you know, you've dealt with the folks at Navy, so help me out. I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name.
Yeah, and Navy is their SID, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Scott and Kat, and appreciate her very much in Army. She helped us out a lot, and you're going to find out about that. We got that coming up. Of course, we told you about December 15th. And get this, we've got two more things we're working on, so if you have any contacts, we do. We already have some that we're working on, but the 1983 team, we're going to do a special podcast with them. We're working that out right now, and we're going to have that. It's probably going to be right before Christmas because we're trying to get the guys, kind of like herding cats. Everybody has to get their schedules together for the 83 team, and we're going to work really hard on that. And then we also have the it's actually the hard to believe the 10th anniversary of the Conference USA champion, East Carolina Pirates, 2008. And so, you know, Bubba, we're going to probably have, that'll probably be towards the end of the year that we'll have that. We'll have a Christmas show, and obviously we're talking tonight about a New Year's show. But we've got so much going on. Not to forget about basketball, right?
Yeah, that's what, as we've noted several times, the month of December is extremely slow for Pirate basketball, so we will have a little bit more of your historical ECU football content, and then who knows, hopefully we won't have anything on a coaching search, because hopefully the Pirates will be able to play well down the stretch here at Cincinnati and at NC State, and Coach Mo and staff will be returning for 2019. But that's something that could potentially be on the table as well. And then of course with 40 bowl games, 41 bowl games, whatever there is this year, then we will certainly be taking a look at those as well and getting you ready for all the bowl games and the college football playoff.
We know, by the way, we have another Smokey and the Bandit 3 episode because we have one of the stars of the show. We have him here, Kyle from LaGrange. Hey, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? I came in as Bubba was saying hopefully that Montgomery would be retained. I don't know. What's this podcast coming to without me on it?
What I was saying, Kyle, is that we were talking about what all we have on the schedule for the month of December and talking about how light the basketball schedule is with only three games. So that provided more time to turn our attention to like some of our historical podcasts with the 78 team, yeah, the 2018, et cetera. And then, of course, the Army-Navy game. But I said also hopefully the Pirates will finish well at Cincinnati and at NC State, where Coach Mo and staff will make their case for the 2019 season and beyond.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. I don't see it happening, but hopefully. Well, look, if that happens, great. But what I don't want to have happen is they don't make their case, and then we don't make a change. Yeah, there seems to be more and more people. I'm hoping it's just the euphoria of beating UConn. I'm hoping some of the people get off that nonsense after the inevitable against Cincinnati. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and, if they – here's the thing. I think it's at a point, and I don't know whether this is maybe sound rude, but it's put up or shut up time. And that's the only thing – that's what comes to mind. Your back's against the wall. And maybe, maybe the players will respond. And if they pulled up an upset against Cincinnati and NC State, if they, win those games, then I don't even think if – I know Brandon said it, and I think a lot of Brandon Simmons – I don't know that even if we played well and we still lose, I don't think he keeps his job.
I don't think you should. He's 3-9. You can't keep going 3-9 and not having any success at conference and any success on the road. See, because this is what I don't get. What's going to happen next year? Do they think suddenly in year four we're going to win 8 games? No, in year four, 6-6 isn't successful. If year four you're just getting to 6-6, that ain't good enough.
Right.
People have lost their ever-loving minds. And I don't mean Brandon Simmons, and it sounds like I do, but I don't. I don't mean Brandon at all.
No, because I think deep down he's being nice.
Brandon said I think he's more in favor of a change than not. And this has nothing to do with Brandon Simmons. Let's separate the two. But there are some other people that have lost, some people I respect, that I think have lost their ever-loving minds.
What it amounts to is that even though it's a matter of winning a game, of course it's nice to win, and the way that we beat UConn was nice. However, you can't go on one game. You have to go on the body of work of 3 years. Exactly. And when you look at the fact that we have a potential, gentleman, of being 9-27 and 1-15, 1-15 on would be the road. The road wins would be one out of 16 games. You've only won one road game, and then in the conference you've only won. Let's see, we won one in the first year, and two.
1-2-1.
1-2-1.
Yep. Four.
Four
conference wins in 3 years. It's asinine, absurd, and insane. And the fact that people think that somehow next year, Coach Mo's magically going to wave a wand in the air, and all his players are going to be in here, and we're just going to be awesome. I'm tired of it, man. It's we have to make a change. We're not going to beat Cincinnati. You can hope in one hand and crap in the other. You can ifs and buts and fruits and nuts. Cincinnati's defensive line. Look, I shouldn't say we won't beat them because they do turn the ball over, so that does leave that opportunity there. And they can come out flat. But when you just look at it on paper, their D-line is going to destroy our offensive line. Their front seven is going to push our offensive line around and get to Holton Ahlers all day. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, their front seven is really good, and our offensive line ain't so good. We rely on Holton to pass the ball way too much, and we're going to be lucky if we don't get Holton hurt in this game. And now maybe they come out flat after that UCF game. Maybe we come out fired up, short week, just beat UConn, and maybe we force some turnovers because, as we talked about on the previous podcast, Cincinnati, they're turning the ball over.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening. You know, if we do pull it off, then great. You know, NC State's next, and we see what happens. And, you know, if they do win these last two and finish 5-7, then I'll shut my mouth.
We know that, and we're going to find out because today is Black Friday. By the way, Kyle, are you going – are we keeping you from Black Friday shopping? Is that why you were not on the podcast? Because it's Black Friday right now, and today the game is at 3:30 this afternoon.
I was actually busy doing the opposite of Black Friday shopping. I was paying bills when you guys started doing the podcast. So I was busy paying bills online. So I got that done, and then I joined you guys here for the podcast. You know, and actually, it is related to Black Friday shopping. Trying to get the budget ready for Christmas shopping. Bills have to be paid first. Priorities, gentlemen, priorities.
That's what I've got to – I've got a bill I've got to pay right now after the podcast. So I'm glad you said that. We've got – so that the – you got the game there. And we want to mention, too, that obviously we've got a great playback with Jay Sunhalter is going to come back on. So that'll be awesome.
Remind me to ask Jay something this time.
All right.
There's two questions I want to ask Jay Sunhalter.
Okay.
And they're both silly questions.
Boxers or briefs?
No, I want to ask him. I want to ask him, you want me to pull the questions now?
No, save them.
I'll save them. All
right. Yeah, I've already teased the audience enough before you jumped on. Well, we were teasing a lot tonight, so I guess that's part of the
episode. What were you teasing them with?
Thomas McLaurin has an interesting story he's going to tell about why that day is special for him as far as the Independence Bowl, that actual date and everything. And I don't want to say why because I want him to tell the story. It's his story, not mine. So I tease that. And so you'll just have to come to the party or listen on December 15th to find out why that was a special day for him on December 16th, 1978. So you'll find out. That's the ultimate tease.
Are we exchanging Christmas presents, gentlemen, at the podcast party?
Yeah, we can. And I want to do a programming thing here right here on this podcast. I'm hoping we can do some kind of Christmas show where we can talk about favorite pirate gifts, or we can talk about maybe items that your family has given you that ECU stuff, or something, or your just favorite gifts overall.
Yeah, and maybe some of the listeners can email in at thesportsobj@gmail.com and tell us their favorite East Carolina Christmas memories. You know, maybe, like David said, a favorite pirate gift or maybe a bowl memory. The bowls are always around Christmas. You know, something pirate-related associated with the holidays.
I know that we got
I got a really good story, actually, that I'll save for that Christmas podcast. Another little tease for everybody, that a favorite pirate Christmas gift, and there's a pretty good story to go along with it.
And while we're talking about programming notes, Bubba and I talked about, and I know I've already mentioned this to you, Kyle, we're going to do a New Year's where we'll have New Year's resolutions, and maybe we can have ones that will have a great – hopefully we'll know who the AD and the – if we have – who the football coach is going to be by then. But if not
– to be sure.
Yeah, you would think. But we're going to do a special New Year's resolutions and maybe end of year kind of recap of –
how was y'all's Thanksgiving, being it's Black Friday? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I actually had to work my job, but I actually ate with the family and then went to work. And then, obviously, the family went out. It's a great excuse because, you know, that certain store, it ends in Mart, when they have the different, you know, Gray Thursday stuff, Thanksgiving night last night. I didn't have to wait
three times a week.
Lines. Do what?
What was that, Bubba?
You said that store that ends in Mart. I said the one that you visit three times a week.
Yes.
Three times a week, my ass. Seven times a week.
No, it's like four to five. I don't go there on when I'm not working. But anyway, I didn't have to do that, so that was nice. And then I have the weekend off, so I'm going to enjoy pirate football and basketball. And Bubba, I know you. What did you do for Thanksgiving?
Bubba, did you chuck on the turkey bone? I know your wife had to give you the Heimlich. Are you okay?
That's not a bad idea though. I might pull that, Kyle. I'll be sure to keep that one in mind. for future Thanksgivings, and maybe I'm pull that one at Christmas.
What are you trying to get out of dinner with the family, or what? What are you trying to do?
But it was good. Just spent time with the family, watched football, of course, the Egg Bowl. I can tell you who I think's going to win the Egg Bowl, and that's going to be Mississippi State.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mississippi State's big.
Yeah.
They're a 13-point favorite, and I definitely think that they win the Egg
Bowl.
Where's
that at? Is it in Starkville or Oxford?
It is in Oxford.
Ole Miss's offense is okay. I agree with you. I think Mississippi State's going to win it, but it wouldn't be surprised me if the Ole Miss pulled the upset.
You never know. Rivalry games, like we talked about with our special Army Navy podcast coming up in December 4th, I think.
Speaking of Army Navy, also, I guess played last night at 3:30. They played 3:30 on Thanksgiving against Colorado State, their in-state rival.
There you go.
Well, this is Friday, so we got to talk about the Friday games. We got East Carolina, Cincinnati, obviously that's the main focus. It's a bunch of other good games Friday. What else? Who else plays today, guys?
You have the Commonwealth Cup, or I believe as they refer to it, with
Kentucky big, obviously.
Well, yeah. And then
what about Virginia? Virginia Tech.
Virginia is. You have, it's actually the Wahoos, a 4.5-point favorite in Blacksburg. And because, of course, Virginia Tech's really struggled. And, of course, they had the early season loss at Old Dominion. And then you got, they've lost 6 out of their last 8 and 4 in a row.
And we might should have went ahead and rescheduled them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I certainly didn't see that coming. I thought that the Hokies would have a better year than that for sure. I had my doubts as to whether they would win the division, of course, after they lost to Old Dominion. But
right.
But never did I see 6 out of 8 losses.
Well, it is what it is. It's karma. But anyway, I'll leave that one alone.
And another big one you have, not as big as it seemed like it was going to be early in the year. You have UCF and USF, which is being played in Tampa this year. And
still dangerous, man. It's still a dangerous game for you at UCF. It's a rivalry.
Yeah.
The war on I-4, as they dub it. And of course, that game last year was just tremendous.
That was like a bowl game. Oh, my God, that was a huge game.
And then another big one, perhaps the biggest of the day in terms of just what's at stake is the Apple Cup. You have number 16 Washington taking on Gardner Minshew and the Cougs in Pullman. So
that's going to be huge.
That's at 8:30 on tonight. So that's going to be tremendous. I'm looking forward to
a lot of big ones Saturday too. You got Auburn, Alabama. You got Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Michigan, Ohio State. It is rivalry weekend.
And we'll try to have since we're having Jay on, we'll try to have as many for the playback. We'll try to remember that to talk about the games, especially being that he is an ESPN3 analyst and does a fantastic job and a friend of the podcast and friend personally too. So appreciate Jay as well. Hey, by the way, Kyle, I know you were doing Bills, but we were talking about the Pirates 4-2 now overall and the deep. With the basketball
I watched
team.
Some of the game tonight against Prairie View, or Wednesday night against Prairie View, and we got the dub. And good to see Travis Williams back. Wait a minute, did I just say the wrong
Sean
name?
Sean Williams.
Good to see Sean Williams back, and he had a good night back. And what did he score? 18 points. It was good to see the Pirates take out Prairie View A&M, and up next is Tubby Smith and High Point.
Yeah, and the women play too, right, Bubba?
Yeah, and Saturday's a doubleheader. We've already had a couple of those this season, and on Saturday the Wake Forest women will be in Menchie's. That's a 2:00 tip, and then the men, as you just mentioned, will be taking on Tubby Smith and the High Point Panthers. And that's a 5:00 tip.
Wow, what if Holmes Slice there, our interim head coach for the ladies,
Chad Killinger.
can beat Wake Forest. I mean,
yeah, that would make us 5-0. Of course, we got to 4-0 the other night with a 12-point victory over Kennesaw State. And so, yeah, Chad Killinger is really performing well. His team's performing well.
Bubba, question.
Yes.
Do you think our football team could beat Kennesaw State's football team by 12 points?
Oh, my. Oh, they're a good, football team.
I say Kennesaw State, I believe they actually played Coach Blackwell, and they eliminated Jacksonville State last year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, yeah. I think that's
right. You are correct. So, Kennesaw State's got a good football program, runs that triple option.
And speaking of that, of course, with their success, their coach is getting attention. And I'm trying to remember one of the openings I saw him as a potential candidate for earlier today on social media.
Yeah, they're going to he's one of the names, and there's a lot of coaches out there, a lot of really good coaches that
Charlotte, perhaps, Bubble?
That may have been it. I want to say it was one more from the Northeast.
Oh, really? He would be a good fit for Charlotte because Georgia, North Carolina was somewhat regionally recruiting. And then it would be interesting. I think that might be a good route for Charlotte to go, kind of running the triple option. Somebody in the Northeast. There's not. I don't. Who's
UMass,
that gonna,
but that's FCS.
That's it. It's UMass.
UMass is FBS.
Yeah, UMass is an independent.
Yeah, that's right.
They of course Mark Whipple was in his second stint there. And they parted ways with him. Last year they had shown a lot of promise in the second half of the year, winning like four out of the last six. And
this was year three.
Oh, that sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how when coaches don't get it done at year three, like Texas State, you know, these powerhouse football programs that really care about football, that their coaches are in year threes and still not getting it done, like Texas State and UMass. Fire their coaches. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, East Carolina's sitting there twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's gonna be a long cold. It's gonna be a long cold winter if we don't already have. Go ahead and hire. Oh, by the way, I'm glad you said that, Kyle, because you got me so mad. It reminded me of my analogy that I had, and Kyle said I should use it on the podcast. My analogy for the podcast over the last 4 or 5 months for East Carolina, because I still say my name of my university, I know how to say it and pronounce it, is it's like a Band-Aid. And, you know, when you first have a Band-Aid and you're really young and you think you should just pull it off slowly, it hurts more. That's the way East Carolina is right now. Just go ahead and pull the Band-Aid off. Let's go. Let's get it done. Let's hire an athletic director. My God, you know, Kyle and I did that podcast back in March. March.
That was ridiculous.
March Madness was going on when we did that.
It was even more sickening to me. If people keep acting like stuff's okay, people keep acting like that, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. It's perfectly fine to walk around without an AD, to have a head football coach in year three that is not making on-the-field progress, significant on-the-field progress. I don't give a crap about being more competitive in games.
Right.
Wins and losses.
Right.
And when I think UMass and Texas State, both in year three of their head coaches, went ahead and made the change, and we haven't. We haven't pulled the trigger because we don't have an AD. We have an incompetent chancellor who's an able of making decisions, who was so inept with handling athletics, he has to bring Dave Hart in for a fictitious made-up position just so he won't have to worry with athletics anymore. I mean, it's oh, my God.
Yeah, Kyle, that's the most frustrating thing. It's just you wonder with the deep dive, that's what – Exactly. How bad were things if it took that long to get things?
Well, when you're only working 8 days a month, Bubba, it takes a while to do a deep dive.
I just don't. I'd like to know exactly where things stand that, and what dictated and necessitated that deep dive was so deep, because it certainly seems like that we'd have been able to move a little more quickly, move thoroughly, but move a little quicker, and then not put ourselves in a situation where even if we do hire an AD, he's not someone who's had an opportunity to be here throughout the fall and truly assess the program. He's going to have to really work quickly to make a move or to leave things status quo.
What I hope, Bubba, and at this point, I don't know why anyone should think the best, but what I hope is the Butch Jones rumors are true. What I hope is Dave Hart is already making that move, and the incoming AD will just have to okay it, I guess, kind of. You know what I mean? Or perhaps maybe at this point, if Gilbert ain't interested, we're going to worry about getting a head coach, let Dave Hart handle that, since evidently he's staying on, and then we'll hire an AD. I don't know. It's a mess, man. It's a mess, and it's ridiculous. It's what is just bothering me so much is that there are people who are okay with this nonsense. There are intelligent, educated, articulate people that are okay with this nonsense. Status quo, toe the company line. Don't question, don't challenge. Just go along with it because I'm a pirate. Know what you are. It makes my hair hurt, Bubba. It makes my hair hurt. You're a yes man. That's what people who just keep going along with this nonsense and can't see the forest for the trees, just step up and challenge. Challenge our leadership. Challenge these Board of Trustees members to challenge our leadership. That's what the Board of Trustees is supposed to be there for checks and balances, to make sure that our leaders are towing the line, and instead they're nothing but a bunch of yes men. It's sickening, and we've got to do something, man. We've got to. Change has to be made, and it has to be made fast. At this point, saying change has to be made fast is redundant because, you know, fast was 6 months ago. At this point, it just needs to happen. It needs to be imminent. If Hart can't get Gilbert, then, you know, I know Jeff Barber wants the job. Just get Jeff Barber. I mean, for Christ's sake, what could he possibly be making at Charleston Southern?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that I'm not aware exactly what that figure is, but you wouldn't think, because you think back to our interview with Jeff Barber, I mean, just knowing where that program is there, and just Jeff Barber was talking about some of the lack of resources and stuff, so you can't imagine
if I had to guess,
they're paying him. I mean,
if I had to guess, if it's more than $150,000 a year, I'd be surprised, very surprised.
Right. You would certainly think that we would be at least 2.5-3 times his salary.
Yeah, well, we were paying Kyle for $450,000.
Right. So three
so,
times.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just starting to piss me off, and we need to, and like I said, if Hart has not got things together to hire an AD, then I'm hoping he'll have the intestinal fortitude to pull the trigger himself on Montgomery and get somebody in here. Like I said, we had those Butch Jones rumors, but who knows, man? Who knows where rumors come from? One person makes it up, and it becomes gospel, and it spreads like wildfire.
Kind of shifting back to basketball, because I know we're going to be needing to wrap this up here shortly.
But later on tonight, when we host High Point, excuse me, tomorrow when we host High Point on Saturday, that's what, 5 p.m. at Minji's. That's the first of three games against in-state foes over the next week.
Yep.
This is the first meeting between ECU and High Point in 50 years. High Point leads the series 36-29, but all 65 of those meetings, guys, were the last meeting was January 31st, 1968.
That's insane. 50
years ago. Almost 50 years ago.
Yeah, that is over 50 insane. Years ago. And
yeah. And then
insane.
And then on Tuesday we traveled down to Wilmington. The War at the Shores, they used to call it back in the CAA days. The Seahawks lead that series 36-28. We did pick up a victory over them in Minji's a year ago. And then next Friday night, App State, a series that has been dormant for about 6 years, is the last time we played those guys, I believe it was at Time Warner Cable Arena, as it was known then, now the Spectrum Center here in Charlotte. We played those guys there, and I was at that ball game. Pirates pulled it out by about 10 points. But App State, and they've had a tremendous non-conference slate so far. They've played the likes of Alabama, Purdue, Wichita State, and they've been very competitive. I know in the Alabama game and the Wichita State game, I think Purdue got them by about 20 or 22. But that App State game is one to really circle, and hopefully we can have a good crowd out there. You know, the students will have a good turnout, and because I'm telling you, that's probably quite possibly on a pretty light non-conference schedule, at least by names. App State could be one of the toughest tests at home.
Even when they were not, as far as quality of opponent, as far as talent is concerned, we've always had better talent than them. They've always given us, it seems like, they've always given us a fit, for sure. I tell you what, Kyle, when you think about Tubby Smith, it's not his first time. This is his, let's see, I know Georgia. I know we obviously had Memphis. This will be his third different team he's had come into Williams Arena, right, Bubba, off the top of my head?
Well, actually, I'm going to say not to nitpick you, Dave, but actually he had left Georgia just prior to Georgia making that trip to Minji's, Ron Jersa. Ron Jersa was their head coach. In that game, I was there. We lost such a heartbreaker. That team with Rafael Edwards and company. We lost 55-54. They called a pretty cheap foul on the a second or two left, or actually the free throw may have been shot with no time left on the clock.
It was.
And he had three attempts and was only going to have to make one to win it.
I think he made
the first one.
It got called with no time left for 3-point range. They called the foul and it was a BS call. And you were there at that game, Bubba?
I was, and don't ask me how, but just the fact that it was so disappointing and the fact that it seemed like we were going to knock off the Georgia Bulldogs and then didn't because of that call. So Bonnie Oliver was the guy's name who knocked down the game-winning free throw. Don't ask me how I remember that. But
I wasn't there. I actually can tell you where I was, though. I was listening to that game on the radio in a pickup truck, and call my redneck side of myself out here. Guess what I was doing that night? I went back to the pickup truck to listen to the end of that game. Guess what I was doing? If either one of you get what I
don't
doing
know.
Right, you win a prize.
Well, is it PG related?
It's G rated.
G rated.
I was, this what year was that, Bubba?
Doing stuff.
That was, I think it was either 97 or 98.
I think it was 97. So I was 17. What was your guess, David?
You were doing tobacco.
I was chewing tobacco. I was probably chewing some tobacco that night. But Bubba, do you care to wager what I was doing that I went back to the pickup truck to listen to the end of that game?
Well, I definitely know you weren't at the drive-in movies. It wouldn't have been G-rated. But
No.
But other than that, no, I don't have a guess.
Yeah, I've got something that neither one of you probably have ever done. I was coon hunting.
Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah. All right, that makes sense. Okay.
I was coon hunting there in the wilderness of Martin County where David calls home.
Yeah.
David, do you know a part there in between Williamson and Janesville, a little area called the Islands?
What's it called again?
The Islands.
No, I don't. Man, I learned something tonight. No, I didn't.
Well, that's because you're not redneck enough. You grew up there in town. Your dad's a vet. Mine poured concrete and farmed. But that's what I was doing, totally unrelated to anything, and nobody really cares. That's what I was doing that night. I never will forget. The dogs had treed, and they went back. They were going back out to the tree, and I was like, guys, I'm gonna stay here at the truck so I can listen to the end of the basketball game. So,
oh, my God, that's hilarious. And then
that's the point I realized hunting wasn't for me.
Yeah, because you were listening to the game before. And then they disappointed you with the game and the finish of the game. But college basketball referees are we need to do a whole podcast on definitely, or just referees in general. That would be a great podcast to do. But they're just terrible. They really are. And how do I really feel? They're terrible. But anyway, I hope that they're not terrible against for the Pirates when the ladies take on the Demon Deacons, and that'll be at Bubba, 2:00?
Yeah.
And then
ECU women's basketball against Wake Forest on Saturday afternoon at Minji's at 2:00, and then the men at 5 against High Point. But
you get your tickets ecupirates.com or 1-800-DIAL-ECU. And I want to throw in one more thing. By the way, guys, I want to throw in one more thing. For baseball, for Cliff Godwin, tickets are on sale for season tickets. And get this, same thing, ecupirates.com. You can call 1-800-DIAL-ECU. And you can go ahead and get your tickets now, and the payments won't come out until February 5th. So you go ahead and get your seats now, and you can do that. And they've got great packages, and I know different games, different kind of things going on. Or you maybe say you want it in the jungle. But, again, ecupirates.com, 1-800-DIAL-ECU, and that's for Cliff Godwin. And they have their baseball banquet, save the date, February 9th. Bubba and Kyle, I hope you can meet me that night. I'll have two great dates of Bubba and Kyle.
What in the hell?
No, I'm just kidding.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, maybe we can bring the wives, and we can have a fun night. But that's February 9th will be – The save the date for that for Pirate fans, and let's show your support for the program and for Cliff Godwin. Okay, Bubba, go ahead. I'm sorry. I want to put those things in.
Yeah, and as far as what you were saying about bringing the wives to that ECU baseball banquet.
I'm sure your wife's all over that.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. We'll certainly find out what the wives truly think about the podcast, that's for sure. That would be an entertaining one for our listeners.
We'll record it. We'll hand it out. What were you going to say about the basketball game?
Give me just a moment. Go ahead, Kyle. I lost my thought.
I was going to say, I suggested that a long time ago, that we have the three wives on the podcast and just have them discuss things, that, you know, see what they think. Maybe we could just have them take over the podcast one night. We could have Jessica and both your wife's names are escaping me right now. Kirsten, and what's your wife's name, buddy?
Stacy.
Jessica just said it in the background. Wow. You guys know names are not my strong suit. Stacy and Kirsten and Jessica should just take it over one night. Just like, you know, just without warning. We don't even tell the listeners. They turn it on, and suddenly it's those three up there, you know, the Wife Subjective podcast.
Hopefully it's not the wives against the podcast, so hopefully that's not the case. But
I recall what it was. That Saturday game against High Point, it will be on ESPN3, and of course I would imagine our good buddy Nate Ross
and Evan Kupp,
they were on the call tonight, and they will be again on Saturday. And then something else I wanted to throw out there. We were talking about how tomorrow or this weekend not just Saturday, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, how it's rivalry week on the gridiron. Next week is, of course, championship week, and we'll have some excellent guests next week. We'll have the likes of Mike Yam from the Pac-12 Network, Tom Luganbill from ESPN, and more. So that's going to be tremendous as we take a look at all the championship games.
And by the way, we had a chance to, early in the podcast, we had a chance to, I'll add to that in, guys, David Glenn talked about the ACC championship for football and basketball, and he shared his thoughts about East Carolina. His son Anthony is here as a freshman, and he loves ECU despite the people in the message boards. He's actually an EC homer. They don't realize that, so I'll let them be ignorant. And, yes, I said that. He does love ECU. And he had a lot of interesting things to say, so make sure that you tell your friends to listen to this podcast because it was good. Do you guys have any final parts? Because I know we've got a lot to do this weekend, and we got a lot of stuff going on between there's people shopping and working, and there's I'm going to be at the racetrack this weekend, all weekend long. So certainly come out and see me at Southern National if you're in La Cama. As you know what I'm talking about, southernnational.com. It's or just Google Southern National, and you can find out we've got a big, it's called the Thanksgiving Classic Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you know where I'll be today, tomorrow, and Sunday, where I'll be.
Yeah, I'd say you always talk about the tremendous job that Mike Ray does, and I know he's a big fan of our podcast, so we certainly appreciate his support. And sometime I've never really gotten that into racing, but I wouldn't mind going to check it out sometime.
We need to have a sports objective night, and you guys can come, and we'll have one of the boxes, and we'll have our listeners come, and I can make that happen. I'll ask them if we can do that next season, and we'll have it where everybody can meet Mike Ray, and you can enjoy a night of racing. We'll try to do that maybe this spring.
I have met Mike Ray. I know Mike Ray. He probably doesn't remember me. I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to hang out at East Carolina Motor Speedway in Robertsonville on Saturday nights, and I used to go down to the playground. This is going to sound terrible. Let me clarify this. I was a teenager, and I used to go down to the playground to meet girls, but teenage girls hung out at the playground.
Yeah, exactly.
Not children. Yeah. And I would stop by walking down there, and I always talked to Mike. He used to run the souvenir stand.
That's right.
He brought a souvenir trailer, and he used to always sell NASCAR paraphernalia, diecast cars, hats, T-shirts, and Mike was always a hell of a nice guy, and I'm sure he still is.
He definitely is, and I definitely want folks. We'll have to do that. I'll ask Charlie Hansen and Michael Diaz, that's the general manager and owner of Southern National, and I promise you guys we'll make that happen because the sport is a whole other podcast, but the sport has got to get younger and get a lot of people in, and I don't know what the formula is, but certainly we need more people.
We need personalities, David. Yeah. NASCAR lost me when we lost the personalities. Everybody became cookie cutter, generic, just, you know, formulaic. What? No promos being cut. No rivalries. You know, NASCAR was at its best when it had elements of professional wrestling. And, you know, what we need is guys with mustaches.
Well, we have the Washington State. That's a whole other podcast. You guys got anything before we go? By the way, we're thankful to have you, Kyle. We talked about. Why don't you wrap up the podcast, what you're thankful for, because we've already done ours.
Okay. Well, I'm thankful for my wife for putting up with me. Thankful for my dogs. I love my dogs. Thankful for East Carolina, even though they pissed me off most of the time here lately. Thankful for all you people who are listening to this podcast each and every episode. Thankful to have a job. Thankful to have a home. Thankful for my Dodge Challenger. Thankful for a lot of different things. That's pretty much it. Yeah, thanks.
All right, Bubba, we definitely need to wrap it up. What you got?
I'd say we certainly said all of our thanks earlier, so no need to repeat those.
But just thank you to everyone for listening, and I hope everyone out there has an excellent Thanksgiving, and or had an excellent Thanksgiving, and enjoyed some football and didn't eat too much.
All right.
Well, I hope you did eat too much because it's the point of Thanksgiving.
That's right, no doubt about it. And we'll see how the Pirates do, and definitely in the game for football and basketball. We'll keep it there. For Bubba Rosenbaum and Kyle from the Great Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.